Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Hutchcroft, photographer, copywriter, and educational content creator. Join me while I sit down with talented photographers, savvy entrepreneurs, and inspiring educators from the Unscripted community. Each week, I pick their brains and invite them to share real-life advice so you can learn everything you need to know to grow your dream business. Tune in for conversations about harnessing your creativity, connecting to your clients, building your confidence as a photographer, and so much more. No matter where you are on your photography journey, this is the podcast for you. If you want to celebrate all stories, take photos that matter, and feel empowered in your craft, don't go anywhere. Let's get right into it. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Unscripted Podcast for Photographers. Today on the show, I have Maggie Reckemer, a family photographer based in the Midwest. Maggie's work is known for being intentional, creative, and it's also a really beautiful window into capturing the beauty of everyday motherhood and family life. She stepped away from her photography business like 7 years ago to have her first kid, but 6 months into maternity leave, she decided to reopen her business. Now, she not only documents families, but also educates other photographers through mentoring and workshops. This episode, Maggie and I dive deep into the world of motherhood photography. You'll hear all about how Maggie builds trust and connection with clients, especially new moms, and also about how her own experiences as a mother shape her approach. We'll also discuss her candid, lifestyle-based approach and how she captures genuine moments while also making sure everything's exposed correctly. So whether you're a seasoned family photographer or you're just starting your journey, get ready to be inspired by Maggie's insights and practical tips. Let's jump in. Maggie, it is so awesome having you on the podcast. Would you mind starting us out by introducing yourself to our audience?
I would love to. I'm Maggie Reckemer. I'm based out of Moline, Illinois. My husband's a firefighter. I have 2 kids. Abe is 7 and Ezra Joe, she is 5. I started my photography business in 2015 and I went full-time in 2017. I was actually an occupational therapist before and we decided I was going to stay home with the kids. And so I document families now, newborn maternity, motherhood, fatherhood, anything surrounding families I'm doing. I also educate and I do like in-person workshops and mentoring and really love like the community of creatives. And I have some really close creative friends here. So that's me. In my free time, I'm usually just hanging out with my family. And we bought a very old house, as is at the start of COVID. So we will be renovating this house forever, but we love it. So it's like a dream house.
So wow. Cool. Well, it sounds like you've got a lot on your plate. Let's talk a little bit about your photography journey. You kind of started out, I think it did, was it your husband who bought you a Canon Rebel back in the day? Is that kind of the beginning of the journey?
Yes. So when I was in high school, I originally wanted to go into graphic design. And I kind of, at one point, there was somebody who kind of talked me out of it and said, you know, you need to go into a career that's long lasting that you can have forever. And the art.
Oh, the sensible voice. I hate that voice.
Sensible voices were, and not even, it was like the outside world telling me. And when you're a high schooler, you're a teenager, you're kind of like, okay, you know, I wasn't like knowing well enough. So art went on the back burner and I went into a healthcare field. And while it was fine, I never felt super passionate about it. I mean, like I loved learning. So school was great. And I worked as an occupational therapist for like 4 or 5 years. And during that time, my husband bought me a camera. Like he's like, you're really artistic. I think you would just have fun for an outlet, for a creative outlet. So pretty quickly after I got a camera, I had a few friends ask me to take their photos and they started giving me gifts. I'm like, why are you giving me gifts? And they're like, well, can we just pay you? I'm like, you want to pay me money for doing this? That would be wonderful. So, and then my business was born. I just did it on the side after work, after I was at my therapy job, pre-kids. But then when we had kids, when I got pregnant, I kind of looked at our life and I thought, okay, well, we're a 2-income family. I can't go to work at probably 40 to 50 hours a week as an OT and think I'm going to go shoot after work and be editing all the time. And like, I'm going to have a baby. Like I want to be with my family. So I closed my business, which at the time, like family has always been my priority and it still is. So at the time I was like, this is just what I'm going to do. And it's okay. Like, even though I love doing photography and OT was kind of like, it's fine. It pays bills. I was fine letting that go for like my family life. And then my husband, like a week before I was supposed to go back to work on maternity leave, he's like, please stay home. He started like crying. He's so sweet. And I'm like, aww, okay, I'll stay home. And so, you know, it was a risk. Like we went through our budget that day and we cut out like everything extra. We're like, nope, this is what we're going to do. I had already closed business. So probably when my son Abe was like 6 months old, I kind of, you know, I think I still probably had a couple things on the books, like weddings or something I booked way before at the time. And so I was like, well, I probably can start doing more photography again and, you know, adding to our income and helping support the family while still having a little one. And so it just started back up again. So it was really great.
How established was your business when you kind of closed it down to go on maternity leave? Like, was it kind of like doing a couple of shoots here and there, still like receiving payment in the form of like gifts, or were you like pretty like into shooting at that point?
I was already pretty established. I mean, I'm kind of a rule follower. So even right away, once I started receiving money, I had like filed as a full-time business. I was like paying my taxes. I was doing all things. And I was actually pretty busy. I was making a pretty substantial income, but at that time we didn't really need my photography money. So I just threw it all back into my business, which was really such an advantage starting out because I like got a new laptop. I got all new camera gear. Like I got all of these base things because I didn't care if I made a profit because we were paying all of our bills through our income. So at that time, I was pretty established. Like fall here in the Midwest is super busy for photographers. And I was shooting a lot, plus shooting weddings. And I was pretty much shooting everything. And I think too, that kind of was part of like, well, I can't keep doing this and be an OT. So that kind of like fed into like, well, I can't do all the things at once.
I love how like the photography won out over the sensible advice that you got in high school in the end. Like, I think that's just such a success story. So like you were shooting kind of all of the things, as you were saying, like weddings, like boudoir, like headshots. And then you kind of started to hone in a little bit more on like motherhood and like fatherhood and like family photography. Would you attribute that honing in to having a family yourself where you were like, this is something I can relate to. This is something that that resonates with me? Or like, was it a pretty natural transition after starting your own family? Or was there something else specifically that inspired you?
What's interesting is it's like twofold within the same thing. I think that like having children and like starting a family, I became so connected to that even more than I was before. Like I've always loved kids and knew I wanted to have a family, but even more so after like getting to document all of that for myself and for other people was so special, and getting to meet these families and a lot of them, you know, maybe just having a baby like I just did, or talking to them about their toddlers when I was going to go into toddlerhood. Like it was so beneficial for me to even meet these families from like a personal aspect and get to know people, but also, and this has grown more obviously as my kids have gotten older and I've become wiser in my years, but also going to family photography was not only where my heart was at, but it was conducive to our family life. And it was really hard for me. Like there was times when maybe we had booked a wedding and my husband's second shot for me, but we had booked a wedding and then something else would come up on that day. And it wasn't like anything major, but it would have been like my niece's birthday. And I'm like, well, I don't want his birthday. So I think that a lot of things I'm like, I didn't leave my 9-to-5 job to still miss things, in our life that I don't want to miss. And so moving to family photography has been so much more conducive to our lifestyle. I like how I get to work with people. I like that it's kind of chaos with young kids, which is super fun for me. And it also, it's like, I love shooting weddings and I loved my couples, but not enough to like trump me not having to book something 2 years ahead of time or even be stuck on a certain date. Like if one of my kids gets sick, like I can text a family that day and be like, I'm so sorry. My husband's working. My kids are sick. We have to reschedule. And 99% of the time, probably 100% of them, they're like, oh my gosh, it's totally okay. I have kids. I totally get it. Let's just reschedule. And like, I can't do that if it's a wedding. So
yeah,
I feel like I also have planned, like, I don't want that stress and pressure because it is. And I totally love my wedding photographer friends and appreciate everything they do. But I just realized it wasn't for me.
Do you feel like there were any skills that you kind of took over from like shooting weddings or shooting boudoir, or like, I know you were doing like headshots and stuff at some point as well. Like, Were those skills that you sort of honed in that arena applicable to family photography?
I really think so. I feel like when I started back in like 2015 with my business, at least in this area, like more of the lifestyle, which I don't even know if that word gets used as much anymore, but lifestyle family photography, people really didn't understand it and it wasn't a thing. Everything was still very portrait based. It wasn't candid. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't unique to the family. It was everyone get together and smile. Let's get portraits of the kids. Let's set the combinations. And that's good. If we get that, we're good. And so I feel like shooting weddings, I liked that side of weddings that wasn't the portraits, right? People interacting, capturing part of the day that they'll want to remember, but maybe isn't what they're going to like hang on their wall, but maybe be in a photo album or 20 years from now that they'll appreciate. So I feel like being in more of a documentary aspect of weddings really translated well into my family work. And it was really a journey with families here. Cause like I would had to really share a lot about why I wanted to shoot the way I did and really kind of transition into more lifestyle work at the time, which now, you know, has a whole bunch of other different buzzwords, but it's kind of interesting. Cause now it's a lot of family photographers, which I think is amazing. I'm like, I'm not alone. You're out there too, doing the same thing. So I think that's wonderful.
Oh man. And just like, so happy that we've kind of transitioned as like a photography community from like everyone wearing jeans and a white t-shirt on the beach and like smiling at the camera to like, you know, the photographers actually in people's homes and actually sort of capturing like life, like as it is.
Oh gosh. Yeah. And I laugh because, okay, I would have probably in 2015 to 2017, I was like, nobody wear matching tops and bottoms. And now I'll be like, yeah, you can wear jeans and a white shirt. Isn't it funny how like
changes.
It's the type of things you said you would never do. And you're like, oh, sure. That sounds great. I think that's going to look wonderful. So seeing how you evolve and you kind of can eat your words, which I think is wonderful in its own weird way. Oh, 100%. And not even like with fashion, even related to photography, but there's things like the Dutch angle. I don't know when that came back, but here we are. And so I just think it's interesting when like, I'd have been like, oh, I'll never do that. And now I'm kind of like, well, I'm kind of open to all the ideas and all the creativity because it's all going to come back around eventually.
Totally. And I feel like as well, like there was the, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people have been really anti-shooting and like midday, like harsh sunlight. And like, I'm just seeing so much more of it on my feed these days. Like there was like all golden hour for a while there. It was like nobody shot in anything except for golden hour. And it just kind of goes to show that like, you can just do whatever you want, basically. I think that's what I'm saying. Do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want. And I feel like I've expanded so much as a photographer once I moved on from golden hour. Like it's beautiful. We're not going to deny how magical golden hour can be. But I feel like it just opened up so much for me and my schedule and my clients when I was like, oh yeah, I'll shoot high sun. I don't care. Like I can shoot that. That's fine. Like I'm pretty comfortable shooting in any light and making it special for whatever light it is. So I think that's an advantage to photographers when you're first starting out. Yes, diffuse light is going to be your go-to until you're comfortable with your settings, but really advancing those technical skills gives you so much more flexibility and variety when you're shooting.
Totally. So you're photographing families before you had a family, but I want to know, like, what's the difference? Like, if you were to look back on your work that you sort of shot, like, maybe your body of work before you had a family and then your body of work after you've had a family, like, how has having a family yourself influenced the way you approach motherhood and family sessions? Well, let's say motherhood sessions in particular.
Yes, I really feel like you really tap into, as much as I'm making it about my clients, I'm also tapping into what I would want to remember as a mom of my kids. Like anybody who is a mom, I shouldn't speak for all of us, but for me especially, I look back to like newborn stage and it is a blur, right? Not getting much sleep, just trying to figure it all out. And then, you know, our kids are only about 2 years apart. And then we have the second kid. And it's kind of a blur. And I took tons of iPhone photos and I'm thankful for that. And I hired photographers and I'm so thankful for that because it's crazy how quickly I feel like I forget because life is so busy. And really, if I don't have the memories, you remember because you can look back at the photos. And my husband, thank goodness, has a great memory for all the things, but you forget. So I feel like where before having kids, you know, I did look at a lot of family photography and be like, well, I want to do it like them. Well, I'm going to shoot like this because this is popular, whatever it is. I feel like there's been so much growth from when I had kids to saying, what would I want for myself if someone was photographing my family? I would want creative photos. I would want details of my kids and me. I would want like real connection of us having fun or snuggling or what we normally do. And I'd want some portraits of us. So that's like what I try to provide to my clients because that's what I would want looking back. So I feel like having kids, I think about, well, what would I want with them? And I think it also helps me knowing like what a baby is like and what's like for newborn parents that I didn't know before. You know, it's one of those things until you take care of a newborn and have kids, you just can't fully understand as much as you could be around kids, how that feels and what they go through. So it's just so nice to be able to relate to parents and talk to them about stuff and just be understanding to them and whatever stage of life they're in, because it's all a new challenge, all wonderful, but all a new challenge.
Totally. Do you find that you were like maybe more easily like flustered before by certain things in like motherhood sessions, whereas now you can kind of take it in your stride a little bit easier?
Yeah, I think so. And I've always been pretty calm. I've kind of laughed. There's been some workshops I've taught at and like stuff during sessions that I taught and people be like, you are very calm. And I'm like, inside I was panicking, but it's okay. You know, when something doesn't go right, but I've really found that usually the people that should get anxious is going to be like the mom or the dad, right? The session's not going well, their anxiety will move on to the kids. And if I'm stressed about something, that's going to change the whole mood of the session. And like, you have to turn it on for what, an hour, hour and a half to be calm and collected and direct and help make the situation better if it's not going well. So I've always just tried to be that person for them. And they're like, man, you are really patient. I'm like, I am only with your family an hour. You are with your family all day. So, and it's stressful getting ready for sessions. I get that. So I try to be as calm and cool and collected for them. And, you know, especially like new parents with a newborn, they might be really anxious. Like, oh, baby's going to cry. Like, oh, are they going to be hungry? Like, do we even know what we're doing? We've had this new person a week. And so a lot of times I'll even just be like, I always wash my hands, but I'll like take their baby and be like, let me just hold your baby for you. Or I'll swaddle them because they don't smell mom. They don't smell her. And I can like calm them because I'm totally fine. Like they can be screaming and I'm like, yeah, I can hold your baby. It doesn't bother me because I'm not their parent. I can be okay with it. So providing that for my clients is just really important to me to be like their calm person, even if it's chaos.
Totally. And like motherhood, like early motherhood is like, you know, I feel like it can be such a tender time. Like new moms are adjusting to an entirely new reality. They're sleep deprived. They're like, you know, a little bit stressed. I also feel like there's like the bodily change that happens like pre-pregnancy, post-pregnancy. Like it's just so intense. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like having that experience would be such an asset. How do you put new moms at ease during sessions? Like, especially those who might be feeling like a little bit like just raw or vulnerable or exposed.
I feel like really when I get their inquiry, a lot of times, you know, I'm getting inquiries pretty soon when people find out they're pregnant, which I'm really honored by. I have people that I'm finding out they're having a baby before the rest of their family. And I take that really seriously. Like they want my work so much that they're like letting me into their world right away, which it's such an honor. And so a lot of times I'm already starting the process ahead of time, talking about when I'm booking newborn sessions, what it's like when I come there. I'm telling them I'm laid back because I am, and that there's no time frame. You know, I may show up and we may get your newborn session done in 45 minutes. It may baby make full time or be totally comfortable. That's fine. But if you need to nurse, if you need to change the baby, if it's freezing in the house and we need to turn up the heat and wait 15 minutes, that's fine. If you need to have some coffee, it's fine. Like I tell them right away that I'm going to help with everything. And another thing that's nice when I do newborns, you know, if people are doing post newborns, like in a studio, they want those babies right away, right? Like within this first week, because they're really moldable and sleepy and you can kind of woo them into all these things. Whereas for me, I'm pretty comfortable shooting. I tell them, you know, go ahead and get home and then message me or message me when baby's here and kind of feel how you're doing. Like, I'm usually able to come within days if that's what you want when they're really, really little. Or if you want to wait and feel settled in and have your family all have been there and wait 3 to 4 weeks, that's fine. The only thing I want is just to make sure your baby is comfortable when I'm there. I don't care if they're awake or asleep. You know, if the parents really want them awake or asleep, we can work on that. Like some, like, I just really want them to open their eyes, which is so funny. And then some are like, oh, I just want a few sleeping. So we'll work to get those for them. But it's just relaxed. Like, and I feel like that has helped so much. Then the parents are kind of like, oh, okay, this is just chill. It's not that big a deal. Like we're, and usually, especially if it's first time parents are the ones that I feel like maybe need that extra, like it's going to be okay. And usually once they have, you know, they're on their second or third kid and the toddlers are running wild, it's also still relaxed because they're more comfortable.
Yeah.
I had a newborn session this last week and something I do and I always laugh. They're good friends. So I could tell them this, but I'm like, I never show up early to a newborn session. Do not show up. Do not sit outside their house 20 minutes before. I will park 2 blocks over and sit, and I will show up on the minute like I'm supposed to be there because everyone's running around. I usually show up and mom may still be curling her hair. She's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, it's fine. It's totally fine. I will walk around the house and see where I want to do photos. I can take photos of the nursery, you know, and sometimes I'm taking pictures of dad changing the baby and I'll have pictures of dad and the baby to start while mom's finishing getting ready. Like I always just want them to feel so relaxed because they're inviting him into their home and their life. So that's just a few things I do for like new moms just to make it comfortable and not so stressful, hopefully.
Regardless of whether you photograph elopements, weddings, or family sessions, the juggling act that comes with running your own business can be a real struggle. There's a lot that falls on your shoulders, from marketing yourself, to managing your finances, to finding new ways to stay creatively inspired. Look, it's a lot to expect one person to do on their own. You should be able to grow a thriving photography business without losing sleep, time, or all your friends over it. Having empowered over 500,000 photographers worldwide to make money doing what they love, the Unscripted app for photographers takes the struggle out of what you do. Offering the world's most extensive collection of poses and prompts, lawyer-approved contracts, digital invoices, client questionnaires, beautifully designed galleries, and so much more, your only regret will be not getting on board earlier. Stop feeling disorganized, insecure, and awkward. Book your ideal clients and grow a thriving photography business today. Search Unscripted in your app store now and get $20 off lifetime access with our code UNSCRIPTEDPODCAST.
That's such a good point. Like, never show up early. Like, that's so simple, but I feel like that is something that, like, it kind of flips the script on what you think you should be doing as a photographer. You know, I think a lot of people, like, it's like, early is on time in a lot of people's books for photography. But I feel like for this specific type of session, like that's such a good point. Like, do not show up early.
Yeah. Even the dad. So I texted them a lot of times for newborns, like, especially if I know them, I'll text them and be like, hey, I'm just leaving my house. I'll be there about 5 minutes after. And I told that to him. He's like, oh, we were so thankful.
Yeah. But yeah.
And so it's just really nice. I feel like it's just a nice touch to, you know, if you want to be early, just park a couple blocks away and then show up. Or you can text them and be like, hey, I'd be there. How's it going? You know, you can kind of do a check-in and occasionally be like, we're ready to go anytime, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. How does that work, like, pricing wise? Like, are you kind of like in your head saying, you know, it's an hour and a half session, but then like factoring in for like if there's like a half hour swing on either side of that? Or like, how does that work for like your own time and how you're sort of pricing the sessions?
I don't really worry about stuff like that. I actually don't have a time limit on my sessions. I tell people sessions are about an hour. And so I tell newborn sessions that I block 2 hours, but if we get everything in an hour, I will let them know. I'm like very upfront with my clients. If there's certain groupings or there's something very specific I know they want that we've addressed in their questionnaire, I will be like talking about that with them if for some reason we don't get it. And like 9 times out of 10, they'll be like, no, what? It's not that big a deal. They say, I trust you and I trust what you've got. I'm happy with what we've done. And then I'm done and then I leave. And sometimes, like, I'll be shooting a family session and we'll go an hour and everyone's having fun. And I'll just be like, hey, you know, I've gotten everything, but I would love to shoot another 20 minutes with you guys. I also like add-ons for like Super 8 film, Polaroids, and like I make gifts for families, and those are all add-ons. So a lot of those on, I'll just message them or email and be like, hey, just letting you know, I usually make sure I'm allotting a little extra time as I'm like switching gear as we're like running around. So they kind of know that too. So they have an idea of the general time frame, how long it's going to be. But you can kind of tell with a family too. Like, you know, if you have some kids, they're just like done after 45 minutes. That's fine. Like, we're having fun and chatting. I'll just keep chatting with them and we'll shoot or like try some new things or things. So I'm just really flexible. I only shoot, it's rare if I'm shooting twice in a day. So it doesn't really matter to me. And in the grand scheme, me shooting their session is like such a small bit of the time I'm spending, like, working with them or working on their session, that just doesn't really affect me. I'd rather just keep shooting if it's fun.
I love that. I think that's actually a pretty unique way of approaching it. I feel like people are a little bit, well, I don't know. It's just kind of like how people advertise their sessions quite often, where it's like, this is a 2-hour block. Like, this is how much time you get with me. But I think that, yeah, like motherhood sessions and family sessions in particular, when you're working with so many variables that include like kids and their attention span and like every child is different, I think that like having a kind of more flexible approach is definitely the way to go.
Oh, yes, for sure. It just, and for me, if I shot for 45 minutes or I shoot for an hour and 15 minutes, really my post-processing is not changing that much when I'm culling another 10 minutes. Like, to me, that's worth the time difference. Even though I value my time, I'm already there. I'm already shooting with them. It's fine either. Also helps for flexibility that if you shoot for 45 minutes and your session says it's an hour, if I have everything in 45 minutes and one of the kids is like done, or, you know, they fall and scrape their knee and they're like, the parents are like, oh gosh, they're done. You know, whatever happens, then I'm kind of like, hey, I've gotten everything in 45 minutes. Are you guys good? Instead of sometimes they're early in my career, they're like, well, we still got 15 minutes. And I'm like, okay, like, we, trust me, in my life, you're going to be happy with your gallery. So I think it's just good communications with your client and a trust level that they're fine. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It provides flexibility on both sides, because usually, like, if you're forcing it and the kids aren't having a good time, then like the photos that you get for that final 15 minutes after the kid scraped the knee, it's not going to be like.
Correct. Yes. And you can like pull yourselves out of it sometimes, right? Or maybe that kid's done and it's mom and one of the other kids together or something different. Like, I've done that before too, you know, where I'm taking photos of mom and dad together at the very end because the kids are done. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, most of the time I'll tell mom and dad to get together and the kids that didn't want to be in the photos decide they're left out and come running back. I'm like, are you serious? And so I'm just really flexible during my sessions on like all aspects.
I think, you know, on that, your style is very lifestyle based. Like, it's not like trying to get like the perfect, like everyone sitting pretty, like smiles looking at the camera. But I think, like, you know, even candid photos, you still have to get the lighting right. And you still have to have like a pretty strong technical skill base to be able to get those like beautiful shots that are in motion. And I just wanted to touch on the technical side of things for a little while. Like, how do you ensure that you're taking incredible photos while also, you know, maintaining that like candidness and authenticity at the moment?
I feel like when I first started photography, I mean, I've been doing it now for, okay, I probably got my camera in 2013, 2014. So I feel like I've been shooting for a while. And right at the beginning, the first things I was doing is I was taking like day courses, learning how to use my camera and just really diving into the exposure triangle and working with light. Like, that is the basis of every photo. Like, I'm looking how the light is interacting with my subjects. And knowing that has helped me so much to where I care what the light is doing so that I can manipulate my settings to the situation. And I can move my body to get the light to work how I want. And if I didn't know that, I wouldn't have the flexibility when I'm shooting candid stuff. You know, I remember in the beginning trying to shoot more candidly and it being really hard because I wanted them backlit all the time at sunset, right? Yeah. And then if something was on the other side, I'm like, well, move this way, quick, do this, you know? And then that got hard. And as soon as I could shooting in different lighting situations, I would just run around to the other side. A lot of times when I'm mentoring people, they don't realize I am moving around so much while I'm shooting. And my clients actually are moving quite little. It's me saying, keep doing what you're doing, stay there, I'm going to move. Because I think it's a big habit. You're going to mirror somebody, especially when they're directing you. So if I'm sitting down and I go to stand up, the family stands up. But if I say before I get up, hey, please stay there, I'm going to keep prompting you and taking some other angles, then they'll stay there and they kind of stay in the magic moment versus like cutting it. And so I've learned that like I'll get all my different angles and run around that way and manipulate my lighting or change my settings. And I think that's just so important. Some things specifically I do would be I don't shoot in single shot. I shoot in continuous. So if there's a moment happening, I can shoot rapidly at a whole bunch in a row to make sure I'm getting those two or three shots I really want. Or I know I can maybe create something out of it later, like a GIF, if I want some motion into their gallery. Another thing I do is I can totally shoot in manual mode, but I really usually shoot in aperture priority and I set parameters on my settings and then I'll pop into manual mode, you know, if I have to do something very specific, like a slow shutter or, you know, manipulating my settings in a certain artistic way. So doing those sort of things also has given me freedom to understand. I understand what my camera is doing within its parameters, but it gives me more time to interact with my clients and be present for the moment versus like messing with my settings all the time. Because to me, I'm like, okay, if I'm at 1/500th shutter speed or 1/1000th, I don't care as long as my exposure is correct and I'm not blowing my highlights. The motion is going to be stopped and I'm going to get them crisp and clear. So those sorts of things I've just learned to work for me. And I've become a very particular straight out of camera shooter for that reason. And it's just been like life-changing for me to be able to shoot so well straight out of camera. And it's been so nice when people are like, that's your straight out of camera shot. I'm like, yes, it is. Thank you. I've worked really hard to get it like that. Because I really don't do a ton of heavy post-processing. So it's been wonderful.
So what are your parameters when you are shooting aperture priority?
So I shoot on Sony. And so if I'm in aperture priority, if anybody listening to this doesn't shoot mirrorless, I use the viewfinder and it's the electronic viewfinder. So you're actually seeing the digital image, which is really awesome when you're changing your settings. I can see in real time what I'm getting, right? Yeah. I can see how much more I'm getting in focus. And that sort of thing. Obviously, you're not going to see like motion blur or something with that, but that helps with my aperture. So usually my ISO, Sony goes down to 50, but so like it can obviously go as low as it wants. I don't care. And it maxes out at 5,000. And I'm really comfortable editing probably a whole session at 5,000 ISO if we're in the dark, because I'm making sure I'm exposing correctly while I'm shooting what I want exposed correctly, if that makes sense, you know, with my highlights and my shadows. And then my shutter speed would usually be at like the lowest outside would be 1/500. If I'm shooting a newborn indoors and we have like one window and it's just terrible, I will maybe adjust it down to 1/250, 1/250, or pop into manual mode just to adjust that, especially if you don't have like toddlers, it's just mom, dad, and newborn. Nobody's really moving.
Yeah.
I also just in general like a faster shutter speed because I don't like people to pause when I'm taking their photo. Like if mom's rocking a baby, I don't want her to stop. I want her to be in that motion and be in the moment. So I feel like that really helps to shoot at those higher shutter speeds to tell people that they can keep moving because you're still getting it, if that makes sense. So that's been really helpful to do those sorts of things. Did that answer all your questions?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I just kind of wanted to get like the sort of specifics because I think sometimes it can be a little bit scary having the parameters up because people worry about having a really high ISO. But I feel like 5,000 is not really even that high, especially for the cameras that we have these days. Like it's so easy to edit that and you're still not getting that much noise.
Yeah. And I'll push it higher, you know, if I need to. And I feel like too, like my editing style and how I present my work kind of lends to that anyway. I like grain. I like imperfection. So to me, I'm like, okay, cool. Bring it on. Totally fine.
Totally. When you're mentoring, I'm curious about like, you know, it's pretty easy to sort of be able to sort of pass on certain settings and stuff, but how do you teach people how to like observe like a family and like how to pull out details? Like what are some things that you tell people to be able to really pull out like those sort of in-between moments of what's happening in front of the lens.
I think it's really important to let go. And that's really hard when you're in charge of a family photo session. But I feel like if you can go to your photo session and trust yourself that you're going to capture things for the family and you have their trust as well, then it's always going to be fine. It's always going to be wonderful. I think getting your clients comfortable and on the same page is like the first step to being able to observe. And I think that observing is such a broad term when I am still very heavily interacting with my clients, right? But I'm doing things so laid back. I'm playing music. Usually when we're at a location, we're walking spot to spot. And as we're walking spot to spot, I'm talking with them, but I'm also watching what everyone's doing, right? Are the two brothers like kind of picking on each other, playing around? Well, I should probably take some photos of that. Is dad, you know, twirling his daughter as they go goof, you know, having fun? You kind of need to just observe how the family is interacting in a short span of time and kind of just pick up on their body language and ask them, like, I'll be like, oh, is she like such a daddy's girl? And they'll be like, oh gosh, yeah. And so asking questions of the family about their family life is helpful for you and also kind of gets them in that like cozy, this is my family feeling. So I'm usually talking to them about their family dynamics in their questionnaire and when I meet them in person. I also feel like the more you're trying to control the session, the less likely they can be themselves. So actually letting go more. And I always laugh because people are like, oh yeah, just go be yourselves. I'm like, okay, that doesn't exactly work. They still need some direction, right? So a lot of times I'm asking them, okay, does he like to be up on your shoulders? Does he like running around a lot? Like, would you guys like to play tag? Would you like to all run at me in a race? Like, I'll just start throwing stuff out there and something will hit, right? They're going to say something. If there's not anything on their questionnaire in particular, I'll just kind of make stuff up. I've made up so many games that aren't real for people. Be like, okay. And that kind of helps me start to see how they interact as a family. And you can figure it out pretty quick, you know. Mom will say, like, if I introduce myself to the kids when they get out of the car and they're maybe kind of quiet or more timid, usually one of the parents says, oh yeah, you know, they're timid, but you give them 10 minutes and they'll be running all around this place. So they're really open to kind of tell me and talk about those things. And I actually struggle more in a session when all of the children are really good listeners.
Yeah. You're like, wait, where's the candid moment? Like, I want you to.
Yes, it's actually a lot harder to do that. And you kind of have to break molds with families sometimes, because if it's your first time, families that have worked with me over and over, they're kind of used to me that I'm kind of like, let your chaos unfold, bring it on. I'm here for it. It's going to be great. But if they don't know me, the first time is kind of always like the easing in where people are really staring at me and smiling at me. And I just have to gently cue them. Look at your child, play with your kid, or you guys don't need to look at me unless I ask you to. And then I have to prompt maybe a lot more. Whereas the second time they come around to booking with me, they know what's going on. Right. So I think too, as you're working more with families, as a family photographer that shoots this way, they get so comfortable with you and they're just like hanging out and have a nice time. So, and I also feel like I observe obviously my own kids all the time because I'm with them so much that I kind of get used to like different things that kids might like to be playing or doing at different ages, which is really helpful too.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's kind of that happy medium in family photography, right? Where like you don't want everyone to be like too prim or well-behaved, but you also kind of need like some semblance of everyone at least like staying in the same area so you can all get them in frame. Like it's kind of this really happy medium of figuring out like how to get them to kind of like slightly ignore you and do their own thing, but also like you can kind of bring them back when you need to.
Yes, 100%. It is a balance. I really try to choose locations where, unless we've planned to shoot at a playground, like I'm not picking a spot at a park where there is a playground within visual sight for these children. That is so hard for them. But I am trying to pick like spaces where kids can be free and be themselves and run around and explore or have fun and enjoy that time together. And that just gives me so much more freedom shooting too, right? Then I'm not worried about stuff in the background or other being there and that sort of thing. So I'm like kind of particular about my quake locations that were really not around a whole bunch of people. If there's, you know, a park they really want in particular, I'm just very honest about, hey, that park is crawling with photographers. I can do it. Like, I'm confident that I will get you beautiful photos, but we might try to get in areas where there's not as many people, or we might have to wait for people passing by and stuff. And that just does affect their session. So you kind of have to be flexible for those things too.
Do you have any stories to share of when things went like really wrong for you while you were on a session?
Oh gosh, you know, I've had injuries, not like major, but you know, like a kid like hits his nose and has a bloody nose or scrapes a knee and that sort of thing. I haven't had anything super major. Usually the only thing that's really happened during my sessions, and I have had very few. I have to admit there's not that many that I've had to reshoot, but sometimes a kid is just like, no, thank you, right?
Yeah.
They're not having a good day. Maybe a lot of times, you know, like the next day, mom will text me like, oh, they're teething. I feel them. That's why they were mad yesterday. There's usually a reason we figure out, or, you know, next day they text me like, oh, well, they have a fever today. They were getting sick. So usually there's kind of a reason. Maybe a kid is like not into it. Like, but for me, you know, we give it a good college try. And if it doesn't work, I tell them, I'd be like, hey, I know I got stuff. There's no way I got nothing. But, you know, if you guys want to reshoot, we can like get together another 20 minutes or whatever, and we can do this again. That's totally fine. And they're usually really thankful. And they're like, families are so apologetic. And I'm like, it's okay. I have kids. I get it. You know, I don't want anyone to feel bad for someone else having a bad day. It happens. Like, we all have bad days, and they're just little humans and they have big feelings. So probably not a specific time, but I've definitely done some reshooting for people, and I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah. And I also feel like offering that is like such a sweet gift, because it kind of takes the pressure off the session. People still feel like they're able to kind of get what they want. And then like, who knows, like down the track as well, you know, I feel like just being like a good human has like a lot of like intangible returns for your business. Like, not that that's a reason to do it, but I think that like, it's also something that is just like a good best practice, I guess, to have like baked into your sort of systems in your business.
Oh, for sure. And I think it's one of those things that as you're going through your business and life, what are you going to be okay with and proud of the decision you made? You know what I mean? So even like, there's times I've not gone by my contract because it was the right thing to do in the end. So I think that giving people grace and always just trying to do the right thing is just so important when you own your own business in an industry, not just because of stuff coming back, but just for your own mental health, to feel like you're doing the right thing morally too. It's really important.
100%. Maggie, it's been so awesome having you on the show. Before we wrap up, I just want to know, is there anything exciting coming up for you this year? Like, what's new in your world, your business? Tell us everything. Tell us where we can find you. Just, yeah, give us the goss.
Oh, you're the best. First of all, thank you so much for having me. This has been so fun. You are wonderful. Let's see, this year. So I had an Instagram subscription that I started last year, which I really love doing. It's helped me reach a lot of photographers. And that subscription is moving to an online platform, hopefully this month, if I can get it all together. So it's exciting to have some of those people, I'm sure, are going to be moving over to my online subscription. It's just going to be like a more robust platform, which will be really wonderful. And then I'm going to have some more stuff in my online shop this year. And then I do have something somewhat photography related that hopefully will be coming out by year's end, but I am not sharing what it is yet. But it's near and dear to my heart, and it's been in the works for a while. So that'll be exciting. Just another little side fun thing.
Amazing. Well, stay tuned. We'll include your Instagram and your website in the show notes for anyone that wants to find you. But thank you so much for joining us. It's been a blast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Okay, I loved that conversation. There's a lot to remember before a shoot, and sometimes I know that it can feel a little bit overwhelming, but these were three golden nuggets that I feel like Maggie shared with us in the show. First one was, don't show up early to newborn sessions. The family is likely going to need every spare minute to make sure they're ready for their session. Considering the unpredictable nature of family photography, it's always good to have a little bit of a buffer time. So schedule your sessions with time so that you don't feel rushed on either end. Focus on capturing moments, not settings. Use aperture priority mode to keep your camera set and your eyes on the interaction. Don't miss a beat. Shoot in continuous mode to ensure you capture every precious moment, even the fleeting ones.
Thanks again to Maggie for being so generous with her wisdom and her experience. I hope that after listening to this chat, you feel ready for everything Mother's Day has to throw you this year, professionally at least. If you've got Mother's Day mini sessions coming up, don't forget to get the word out to your audience in style by downloading Unscripted's beautiful, customizable Canva template for free. Simply head to the education section of the Unscripted app for photographers and tap Editable Canva Templates. If you haven't already, be sure to check out Maggie's work and educational resources online. All the links you need will be in the show notes. And don't forget to subscribe to the Unscripted podcast for more inspiring interviews with photographers just like Maggie. See you next time. This podcast was created on the unceded land of the Bundjalung people, and we pay our respects to elders past, emerging, and present.